The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. And as usual, we try and cover gun stuff, shooting sports, shooting politics, which I believe is going to come into play here really soon. And I have one story that I thought was interesting. This guy out there, he's been stirring up things for years now, and he's doing a really good job of it. And first the liberals loved him. Now the liberals don't like him as much. Now they almost hate him. It's great to see this. And it's hard to imagine that an African-American would have this much influence on liberal politics, even though he's a conservative. And I'm talking about Elon Musk. That's right. Whichever one of you guys thought I was talking about somebody black, there you go, discriminating, prejudging people based on their background. Just because he's African-American does not mean he is black. So, but anyway, what he's done is something that I just find hysterical. I don't know how many of you were on social media, most of you at least Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, X, whatever it is. Well, if you know, Musk bought the X, which is formerly known as Twitter. And apparently at some point during the evolution of social media, they developed emojis, and they change emojis, they add emojis. I think now somebody has a pregnant man emoji that they use. I mean, it's getting to the point where some people can actually speak entirely in emojis. And apparently, there used to be gun emojis on some social media platforms, and they took them off thinking, oh my God, it promotes violence. I go, no, it's a sport like anything else. But, and they replaced it with like a childish looking water gun emoji. So they turned the gun emoji into a water gun emoji, a water pistol. And, what Elon Musk did, he turned them back into gun emojis. And of course, he's catching flack for this from every liberal idiot across the board. Oh no, you're promoting violence. No, I'm not. You know, more people die in car wrecks. Should we not have any car emojis or truck emojis? This is so silly. And you know, does it make the world safer having a gun emoji look like a water pistol instead of a regular gun? Absolutely not. But people are outraged that he would bring back the gun emoji that they fought so hard to get rid of. I mean, this country doesn't realize this is a constitutional right that is guaranteed, and yet they fight against the Constitution time and time again, day in and day out, because they don't like that part of it. Whatever parts they like, they fight for. Whatever parts they don't like, they fight against, and they ignore. So many politicians will get up there and swear to uphold the Constitution and all it stands for, and then they'll turn around in the next breath and talk about wanting to push gun control, which is a violation of the United States Constitution, to restrict arms that American people have in any way without extenuating circumstances. If you're a domestic abuser, if you're a criminal, if you're a felon of any type, a convicted felon, then you're not allowed to have a gun. And that's okay with me. I'm okay with convicted felons not having guns, especially when it comes to violent crime. Now, you get a convicted felon who is convicted of tax fraud, maybe they need to resize that or readjust their opinion on that, because that has nothing to do with violent crime, which is the only place a gun would have anything to do with a criminal, is if they use it for violent crime. But anyway, he turned it around, and he put the gun emojis back on X now. And of course, highly criticized move on his part, but I love the way Elon Musk answers that kind of stuff. They asked him about advertising and if his political opinion affected, you know, the fact that his political opinion is affecting advertisers and they're pulling out of advertising on certain platforms because of this. And he sat there on a talk show. It's a daytime talk show too. And he just said, he goes, they're trying to threaten me with money. F you. That's all he told him. F you. That's it. He said it twice. And the host is like kind of in shock because he said it in the middle of a daytime talk show. But he's right. He goes, you know, the guy's worth over $250 billion. What does he care if these people don't want to advertise on Twitter or on X? He doesn't. He goes somewhere else. Go spend. You can't threaten him with money. He's got money. which is awesome. I love the fact that he is free to speak his mind because of the fact they cannot do anything to harm him financially. I mean, no matter what they did, it wouldn't be enough, because even so, most opinions, let's just say most opinions in the country run half and half. So by alienating half the country, you're going to empower and encourage the other half of the country. So which is better? I mean, I don't know. If you lose one half, you gain another half, you still end up probably with the same amount of people. But Apple was one of the first ones to change their design because of a number of court cases that were beginning to emerge, because they said just having the gun emoji constituted what looked like a threat, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you're making a threat, then you're making a threat. An emoji or a picture wouldn't make much difference. But I guess they could post a picture of a gun, and that's fine, but they can't have the emoji of a gun. Well, Elon Musk changed that back on X and said, you know, we're going to put a real gun because it's not going to affect the violence in the community having a gun emoji in your social media platform. It's not going to do anything to affect that whatsoever. And anybody who thinks so, I think, is a moron. And especially because you're talking about a guaranteed constitutional right that cannot be, that's not supposed to be able to be taken away. But yet, politicians, right after swearing themselves in, swearing to uphold the Constitution, will turn around and make promises to encourage laws that discourage gun ownership or even make it illegal. So many politicians in certain states will violate the Constitution wholly and absolutely, and they don't care. And apparently the federal government is not stepping in and saying, you can't make that law, you can't do that. It's taking citizens to push lawsuits in front of these politicians and dragging them through the court system, which is expensive, unnecessary, and should not even be considered. There should be no issue that the Constitution clearly spells out, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And if you're infringing on those rights, you're lying when you take your oath, which means I can't really believe anything you say because you're a liar. You take your oath, you violated your oath of office already. That should be grounds for prosecution right there. You violate the oath of office, you should be able to be prosecuted. There's too many times when politicians say whatever they need to say to get elected, and then they turn around and do whatever they want to do, even though they have a, you know, an agenda that may be popular with some people. But there's a lot of anti-Americans out there. There's a lot of Americans out there, or people who live in America, who are anti-American. They don't believe in the Constitution. They think it's an old document, old dusty document that needs to be rewritten or readjusted or whatever it needs. They don't realize the sanctity of that document and how it protects people in all different ways. Like you say, and too many politicians don't know enough about the law or the Constitution to be able to stand up and talk about it. Every time a politician starts talking about our democracy, it makes me wince. We are not a democracy. We do not vote on every single thing. We are a constitutional republic, meaning there are protections against everybody, even if they are minorities. And minorities, for one, should love the fact that we are not a democracy. If not, they would be outvoted every single time. The minority would lose every single vote, every single opinion, because in a democracy, mob rules, or the majority rules, and that's it. There's no laws protecting anybody's rights beyond the vote of the dumb masses that are out there voting for things and trying to make laws on their own. So without that protection, they end up with nothing. And they're too dumb to even know it. I remember seeing an article in a local, it was a magazine, newspaper kind of thing. It was an entertainment publication. And they had, you know, bands and bars having specials and things like that. They did movie reviews and stuff like that. And they made it a point. They went to an event. It was an outdoor event, some big festival or something. And there were people handing out pamphlets, brochures for the Communist Party. And the editor made an interesting observation. He goes, don't these people realize as soon as they get communism, it'll be illegal for them to hand out flyers to that go against the government's way of thinking? You know, they're basically watering the tree that their noose is tied to that's put around their neck. They're helping water the tree to hang themselves because they're too dumb to know any better. And unfortunately, that kind of critical or that kind of flawed thinking has prevailed in this country. Too many people don't understand how things are related. I found it, there was another story. I know Victor and I have talked about this a bunch of times on the air. There's a gentleman who was complaining that his landlord raised his rent, so now he couldn't afford a new iPhone, and he was mad to no end. And then when asked about a certain law, I believe it was in New York, they asked him about a certain law and how he voted on it, and he says, oh, yeah, I voted to increase that because my landlord needs to pay more in taxes. Not realizing your landlord does not pay taxes. He collects taxes. You charge him more, he's going to pass those costs on to you. So this guy basically voted himself out of his new iPhone by increasing his own rent, by being stupid and not understanding the slightest bit of economic policy and how it works and how trickle down comes to affect him. He voted for the law that raised his rent that kept him from getting a new iPhone because he's too dumb to understand. He tries to isolate himself from his landlord when actually they are symbiotic. He rents the building. The landlord maintains the building. They have a symbiotic relationship. You start charging him more money, he's going to start charging you more money. You start taxing him less money, there's a chance you could end up with lower rent. And I know you're going to say, oh, he'd never lower the rent once he's there. It goes, competition drives prices down. If every place around him is dropping prices to rent out places, he will have to do the same thing. If you don't believe that happens, look at gas stations on every corner street in America. If there's more than one gas station on any corner, they're usually always the exact same price or maybe a penny or two difference, and that's it. And as soon as one of them adjusts their price, the other one will usually adjust their price too. It happens that fast. Same thing with airlines. You push the competition, and the prices are going to stabilize, and they'll tend to be at market value. Same thing with rentals. If you drop the taxes or you drop the cost of doing business, then all those prices should drop accordingly. And that's what people don't realize too, is if your rent's going up, what did your county do this year about property taxes? Did they raise them? Did they lower them? I bet 10 to 1 they didn't lower anybody's property taxes in any county across the country. Or if they did, it was a tiny little amount, and they'll lower the tax rate, but they'll increase the appraisal value. So you're never going to get a break. You never own any property in this country. You're pretty much just renting it. Because once you stop paying your taxes, the government will take your house, your land, your condo, whatever it is. They'll take it right back from you because you owe them money every year just to have the right to live in a place that you paid full price for and purchased. And all you renters who are complaining and say we need to tax the rich more, do you think a poor person owns your apartment complex? I'm willing to say not. I'm willing to say somebody of considerable wealth owns a lot of large rental areas in this country. Some of them are corporations, some of them are individuals, but you tax them more, it's just going to come down and hit you in the pocket. You're voting for your own demise by voting for that. Also, if you want the county to raise tax rates on property owners and you're thinking, I don't own any property, I don't care. Well, whoever owns wherever you are staying has property taxes. You raise their property taxes, it comes right back to you every single time. So wake up and think about what you're voting for. Because I know it's election season, and a lot of people are starting to do a little research. They're looking around a little bit. They're watching ads. They're seeing stuff on TV or on Facebook, on Twitter, Snapchat, wherever you want to get your news from. A lot of people get their news from social media instead of from news stations. But these days, news stations are more commentary than they are actual news. They tend to present everything with a twist one way or the other. I'm not picking one side over the other. I'm just telling you that's how things work. And the fact that politicians are willing to go right along with this, because then they make more money. All these counties and cities and states voting for more taxes comes out of your pocket. And that's kind of funny, too, because people will talk about taxing guns and taxing ammunition. Yeah, we need to tax that and make it more expensive. So what do you think is going to happen to that? It's going to make the prices higher, and you may say, oh, I'm never going to buy a gun. Well, that's fine. That's your right. But the people who are buying guns, if they're in a position to tax you more money to help pay for their guns, they'll do that, and you'll end up paying for them to have more guns. You'll pay a higher price for that. So think through when you think about voting for higher taxes or taxing the rich or taxing gun owners or whatever you think it's going to be. You think it's going to be isolated to just them. Everything is intertwined. Everything is related. And it all comes back to the end consumer pays for everything. And now, in case you're wondering about gun taxes, there's an 11% excise tax on every gun sold new in America. 11%. And that is before sales tax. That's a federal excise tax of 11%. So with the average sales tax probably being somewhere between 7 or 8% in most of the United States, plus the 11%, you're talking a double-digit tax on all guns now anyway. So you already have taxes on guns, and using that money, they usually use it for conservation. They help preserve animal species that are in danger. They help limit hunting in certain areas on certain animals. So if you care about the environment, you care about nature, having a gun, buying a gun is one way to help support that with the excise tax because of what it goes for. So keep that in mind when you're purchasing a weapon going, I'm helping the environment. I'm going to help protect animals. It doesn't mean we're not going to eat some of them because, after all, if Mother Nature didn't want to eat them, she wouldn't have made them out of meat. So, and they taste good. And they're good for you, too. Venison actually is one of the leanest, healthiest meats you can find, apparently. I didn't realize that. Not that I won't be eating cows, chickens, and pigs anyway. But those of you who are vegans, sorry. That's your right. That's your right to do that. But you know what I want to see? If you go to a barbecue and ask for vegan options, that's fine. Ask. If they have them, great. If they don't, well, you know what? You're at a barbecue place. But I want to go to the vegan restaurant and ask for meat options. And they look at me all funny like, oh, we don't have any meat in here. It's like, oh, but you expect places that serve meat to have vegan options, but you don't expect vegans to have meat options. Pretty one-sided, pretty intolerant if you ask me. It's like a lot of places have signs advertised, you know, no guns allowed inside, you know, except by law enforcement officers. I'm going, so these people are allowed to restrict your constitutional rights because of their whim, because they don't like that constitutional right, so they're not going to allow it to happen. Now, imagine if you went in for an interview and they asked you, well, how old are you? Oh, you can't ask that. No, I want to know. I want to know. I won't hire you unless you tell me. Yeah, they just violated federal law, but so did you by restricting somebody's Second Amendment rights. It goes both ways. It goes all ways. You either respect the Constitution and what it stands for, or you don't. And if you don't, then you can't be surprised when people discriminate against other people based on violating federal law to do so. You violate federal law by restricting somebody's right to carry a weapon, then you know what? If they restrict your right to get a job because of your age, your gender, your sex, yes, it's illegal, but you know what? There are people out there violating gun rights. Gun rights are a constitutional right. So is the right to not be discriminated against based on those factors. So you can't have it. You can't have it both ways. It's got to be either all the rights matter or none of the rights matter. And too many people are allowing gun rights to be sacrificed at the expense of being woke or being, you know, progressive or whatever you want to call it. But you're allowing these people to take rights away from you. Even if you don't exercise them, you still have them. You have the right to own, purchase a gun as long as you are not a felon or in violation, as long as you're a citizen, not a felon, and a few other, you know, restrictive things you have to abide by. But if you're a law-abiding citizen with no restrictions, you should be able to buy a gun and carry it where you want to. And a private company should not be able to restrict your right if they are open to the public. Now, if it's a membership place, like you go to Costco or Sam's Club, they are a membership sales store. So you must be a member. And when you sign up, you may have to fill out something and sign something that says you will abide by their policy. So that's a different story, though. But if you're going into a place open to the public where anybody can walk in, shop, use the facility, and they're telling you you can't have a gun, they're violating your constitutional rights. Now, that same company might have discriminating hiring practices. But you know what? That's okay. And if you have a problem with it, then, hey, they restricted gun rights. They may restrict other rights also. That's apparently they can get away with that. But you have to realize if you believe in constitutional rights, then you must believe in them across the board, or you must abide by them across the board. You can't expect somebody to abide by one and not by the other one. equality under the law means exactly that. So this fall when you, or this summer when you're doing your research, trying to find out who to vote for, who would be somebody you like, consider the most important factors. Do they believe in enforcing the Constitution? Unless you don't believe in the Constitution, if you're a communist or a socialist and you don't believe the Constitution has any place in modern society, which some people don't. There's too many people who believe it's an outdated document written by old white men. And that's another thing. You look at the history of our country, a lot of these guys, Madison, Jefferson, they were not old white men. They were young. They were teens, maybe in their 20s when they did these things. They were super accomplished at a very young age. So, you know, to label all the forefathers as old white men is a ridiculous, untrue statement. Were they white? Yes, because they came from England, they came from Scotland, Ireland, parts of Germany, France, Spain. They all came from Europe, and they came to the United States, conquered it, or took it over, whatever. And you know what? Everyone's mad because we conquered the Americas. It's like, you know what? We just did it better than the people who were here, who had been fighting over territory and conquering each other for generations. We just did it better than they did, and everyone's mad about that. You know? And that's part of evolution. Now, if you don't believe in evolution, then, you know, you can go back to the Bible and do that. But then, of course, you don't want to do that because that would be a conservative thought, and you don't want to have those. You know, it's funny how people want to believe in half of one thing and half of another thing. I think I saw a meme the other day that struck me as funny. It said that the conservative side, who usually supports the police, is supporting a felon as their presidential candidate. And the other side, who normally is about defunding, getting rid of, prosecuting police officers, is getting a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor or state prosecutor to be their candidate. So it's like, you know, the whole world has flipped on its head and gone backwards. But sometimes you have to go backwards to have a clear view forwards. And that's where we are with some of the gun control right now. There's too many people who are trying to move forward on things that are a direct violation of your rights. Whether you use them, exercise them, or not, they're still your rights. You want to have them in your toolbox just in case. You wouldn't believe how many times I have people come up to me, ask me to take them shooting, ask me to take them shopping for a gun, ask me for an opinion. And I'm going to get into that in the second half of the hour. I'm going to go through a first-time buyer's list. I do this every month or so. I go through and I'll run through a few things to be aware of, to check on. But right now, I just want you to know that Elon Musk apparently believes in guns and believe you can have a gun emoji if you want to. And he's not backing down from this. And I think, I almost think one of the reasons he did it is because he knew it was going to get people upset. And he's like, you know, there's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing that violates any laws. Having a gun emoji doesn't do anything to promote violent crime. To me, it shows, you know, sportiness or ability to defend yourself, your family, your property. Because you know what? When you call the government to help protect you, they're not going to be there. When seconds count, cops are minutes away, sometimes even hours away. You have to be your own first responder. I can't stress this enough. You know, and if you don't believe in guns, that's fine. And if you don't believe in religion, that's fine too. But someone's breaking into your house at 3 a.m, what are you going to do? You're going to call somebody with a gun and pray they get there in time. Exactly. Your perspective changes when your situation changes. So if you want to be your family's first responder, you need to be prepared. You need to be the ones to take that first step. And those of you who don't have a weapon to defend yourself with or your family with, now might be a good time. Because I know with the election coming up, it's going to be a battle. That the gun control battle is going to rage on this one, because I believe Kamala, from her past positions, is very anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment. She will be the anti-gun candidate in this race. Trump is more, I guess, agreeable to guns, even though he grew up in New York and probably has never owned one. Other than maybe some ceremonial type of thing or some kind of award. I don't know that he's not a gun enthusiast from what I've been able to find out. And I don't think he's an avid shooter of any type, but he still stands on the constitutional side of gun control. Meaning any upstanding citizen should be able to buy almost any gun they want within reason. I'm not saying give everybody nuclear weapons. Don't be ridiculous. That's not where we're going with this. But sometimes ridiculousness ekes its way into everyday life and we don't even realize it. There was a time, what was this, in April 2022, a 23-year-old from Fairfax, Virginia, opened fire from a Washington, D.C. apartment, injuring four people before taking his own life. Now, one of the victims of the shooting filed a $75 million lawsuit several months later that sought to blame the companies in the firearms industry for his shooting people. And this, you know, it's illegal to do that anyway. And the fact that it was able to be filed should have been stopped right there. Could you imagine? And now I just want to take this to the point of ridiculousness. Let's go through a few of these. Say you get in a car accident, somebody gets killed, and you go, you know what? I wouldn't have been able to drive my car if it hadn't been for the gasoline from that gas station. I'm going to sue that gas station. I'm going to sue that oil company because they sold me the gasoline that enabled that guy to drive his car and smash into my car. So I'm going to sue them to get damages from them because their gasoline enabled him to hurt me. You can't do this. It's illegal. But yet the fact that somebody allowed the suit to be filed, now it did get shut down. I'm going to give you that right now. I'll tell you this. The federal judge tossed the lawsuit blaming gun companies for a DC shooting. You can't blame people for misusing products. If you build Molotov cocktails out of gasoline, you can't sue the gasoline companies. You can't sue the oil companies for your misuse of their product. Otherwise, the summer of 2020 would have shut every oil company down when they were burning things to the ground, throwing Molotov cocktails, setting things on fire, pouring gas on things. Yeah, every oil company would have been shut down by that summer because none of them would have wanted to risk being sued for people misusing their products. If you misuse a product, that's on you. Nobody else can take responsibility for that, and nobody who's harmed by it should put responsibility on somebody who's not responsible. The person responsible for those people in Washington, D.C. was the guy pulling the trigger, was the guy with the gun. Not the gun companies, not the ammo companies, not the guy that rented him the apartment that he shot from. None of those people are responsible for his actions. He is responsible for his own actions. And the fact that they let things like this get into the court system is completely ridiculous. Okay, imagine this one. You have a pool in your backyard, you fill it up with water, you have friends over, somebody drowns in your pool. You sue the municipality for providing you the water that drowned that person. That's the same sort of thing. And this will go to cars, to vacuums, to any household appliance. If you misuse it and something happens, you're going to hold them responsible? It's completely insane to think that's the way things should work. Now, we are a very litigious society and everybody wants to sue everybody. But this is not the way to get things done. This is not the way things should happen. And like I say, in most cases, the gun companies in particular are protected against this exact type of thing. All right, I'll come back and we'll talk about a little bit more of this when I get back. And then we're going to get into guns that are the best for self-defense, guns that are the best for hunting, depending on where you live, and maybe help you make a decision. This is Locked and Loaded. I am Roger B., and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/America's Web Radio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Before we left, we were talking about frivolous lawsuits, in particular in the gun industry, because people all want to sue the gun manufacturers when someone uses their product to cause harm. But yet they can use any other product they want to cause harm, and they'll never be suing anybody else. You don't sue Home Depot if somebody slices somebody up with a chainsaw.
Or the fork manufacturer because I got fat.
Yeah. Sue the silverware manufacturers because it made you fat. Sue the spoon, Rosie. Yeah, it's just, you know, people have to be responsible for themselves. Now, if for some reason that gun had malfunctioned and caused deadly harm, then the gun company would be responsible. If their product did not work like it was supposed to, if it was flawed in some way, that would be a grounds for a lawsuit. If they manufactured a faulty product, that would be grounds for a lawsuit. But if the product works as advertised and all the restrictions on purchasing it were met and all the federal laws were abided by and somebody uses it in the wrong way, that is not the manufacturer's responsibility at all. In fact, once it leaves their facility and somebody else signs for it, it becomes that person's responsibility until the end user gets it. And as long as it's a properly working, functional piece of equipment, no matter what it is, whether it's a forklift, whether it's a car, whether it's a gun, if it works the way it's supposed to and properly designed, and then there's no reason to sue a manufacturer for something that you decide or somebody else decides they're going to use that piece of equipment for illegally. There's no reason that should even be considered a lawsuit. That should have been stopped before it was even filed. But anyway, it was filed, and a federal judge decided... Oh no, is this right? The initial complaint was filed by somebody named Karen Lowry. It was a Karen who did this. It figures. I know there are probably lots of good Karens out there, but it's funny how that name has become synonymous with ridiculous entitlements and things like that. But it's just, you know, if you apply this kind of logic to other things, it is completely ridiculous. And you take it to the point of ridiculousness, and all of a sudden it says, oh, that doesn't make any sense. We wouldn't do that. That's not happening. Well, yes, it is happening, and it's unfortunate that it's happening. And they're trying to say their advertising caused people to buy their weapons. Well, that's kind of the point of advertising, get people to buy your weapon. Is it a good product? Does it work like it's supposed to? Is it reliable? Is it a good value? Those are the only things that a gun manufacturer has to be responsible for beyond following federal laws of possession. They have to make sure it goes to a licensed federal firearms dealer when they send it out to a store or a sporting goods store or a gun store, wherever it goes. They have to be sure the person who receives it is legal to sign for that stuff when it gets there by truck or by mail or whatever. It has to be legally possessed. The chain of custody must be traced properly with all the right paperwork being filled out. And if at that point someone decides to misuse that product, it is on them. They need to be responsible for their own actions. We need to hold the people responsible when they do something wrong. We can't have this blame just being shifted on every other thing, especially inanimate objects. You can't blame inanimate objects for their misuse. They don't misuse themselves, but other people misuse them, and all of a sudden, oh, they're going to blame the product instead of the person who's doing it. Just so sad.
But you said something very important and didn't realize you said it, I don't guess. But
I do that a lot.
No, you know, it's like to buy a rifle, you fill out a ton of paperwork.
Well, not a ton, but you must have ID, you must be, and then you have to undergo a federal background check or state background check.
What was the instrument that I very quickly identified the Trump shooter.
What, the civilians on the ground?
No, they had his rifle.
Oh, right, right.
They ran the serial number, and they had him.
Yeah, yeah.
The name. And, you know, there's always two sides to every story.
Right, at least. Sometimes three or four sides.
Well, I'm not talking about a Democrat. I'm talking about,
yeah,
you know. But I thought that was very interesting. They ran the number on the weapon, and they instantly identified one. It was his father, and then
His father apparently purchased the weapon. Yeah, and he stole it from his father. So, well, took it from his father. I don't think his father even knew it was missing when it happened. But okay, imagine this though. Why don't we just sue the manufacturer of the pen that was used to fill out the form to get the rifle? Why don't we sue the federal government for providing the paperwork for allow him to get the rifle? I mean, you could take this in any direction to the extreme ludicrous way of thinking, and it's stupid. And yet people still think that they're going to sue gun manufacturers into non-existence. And if enough liberal judges exist, they may get to the point where it may become extremely difficult to be able to have a gun company in the United States, despite the fact that it is a right protected by the Constitution. They have no interest in doing that. They don't care if they violate the law or not. The same thing with illegal aliens. They let them come into the country millions at a time, even though it's violating federal law, and they don't care because it's what they want.
What else would you do or take away from the purchase of a weapon?
Well, I don't think there'd be much. I mean, I wouldn't change too much. I mean, they should maybe have, well, they do have expedited weapon purchases for those who hold permits, because most of those permits require federal background checks, fingerprints, and a lot more identifying information and a lot more of a stringent background check. And once you get your permit, after all those stringent background checks, you can usually buy a weapon with less restriction, or at least it makes the process go much faster.
You know, this is to me, not necessarily to anyone else, but we both carry.
Mm-hmm.
And both have a license to carry.
Right.
And it's just like voter registration or going in to vote and showing your driver's license. Personally, I'm very proud of it.
Right,
here,
right.
Here's my ID. I'm proud to be voting. And isn't that picture beautiful of me?
Right. And looks just like me.
And it's the same way with the right to carry. I'm very proud that, you know, I passed their paperwork.
Right. You went through the more stringent background check than someone who just buys one with an instant check.
And, you know, I'm proud of my service, of being a veteran, and I'm, you know, it's, and this is something that, me personally, I think we're losing, is the pride in what you have or what you can get and what. Yeah, it was like today. I was treated very well at an organization. Very, very well.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, it was. And it was sort of jaw-dropping.
A little shocking.
But, you know, and I thanked them as I was leaving the facility. But when I got back to the office, the guys were very nice to me.
Oh, the guys you went to visit for the services?
No. But anyway, I picked up the phone and I called them and just said, thank you for being nice and doing your job, doing it responsibly and quickly. And I just wanted to call and thank you. And I could hear their jaws dropping on the other end.
Okay, that someone actually called to thank them for doing their jobs in a fast, efficient, and friendly way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, everybody should be praised. I mean, that's the thing. People in this country are too quick to complain and not quick enough to praise. You know, when somebody does something right, they never get remembered. When they do something wrong, people never forget. So,
and that, you know, there's a saying, you make one person happy, they'll tell five. You make one person mad, they'll tell 10.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Angry people, you know, people who get bad service will much more likely to complain to more people than people who get served well. But, that's pretty standard human nature, I guess.
But, you know, I think more people and more companies, as I'm sure you've noticed, are saying, give us your opinion of what we did today for you or our service. And, you know, I'm going to start doing that more.
Yeah, I mean, when you have good service, you know, and you got to realize too, there's some people who are always going to complain about everything.
Oh. Like,
yes, there are. There are people who, no matter what happens, if they don't get something for free, there's a lot of these social media quote unquote influencers will go to restaurants and try and say, "Well, if you don't give me this for free, I'm going to leave you a bad review." And I've got 1,000 people following me, and they'll all pay attention to me. They use blackmail to try and get what they want, and unfortunately, it has become somewhat mainstream to do this, and hopefully most of these businesses will shut these people down before they have that type of opportunity or go and respond to whatever their comment was. But anyway, like I said, I'm going to try and get into this a little bit. So realize people will sue gun manufacturers even though it's illegal and the gun worked perfectly as it was supposed to, did not do anything it wasn't supposed to do, functioned properly, was reliable, dependable. It was a perfectly good performing product, and they're trying to sue the manufacturer because somebody misused it. And like I said, you can take that to the extreme in any situation, and it gets to the point where we're so litigious, we want to use the government or the enforcement agencies to attack our political opponents. You want gun control? You want more of it? Well, let's go after the gun manufacturers. Because if we shut them down, then we'll be able to get guns out of everybody's hands and we'll have complete gun control. That's what we want. That's what we need. We don't believe the Constitution should exist. We don't believe the Second Amendment should be written in there. Well, you know what? It was, it is, and it's still there. And if you believe in that, then you have to believe in the rest of it. Or if you don't believe in the rest of it, then you don't have equality under the law, which is the main point that we have with the Constitution. Equality under the law. That is why we are not a democracy. You can't just have people overruling somebody because there's more of them and decide, well, we don't believe that anybody who's of a certain ethnic background or certain gender should not be able to own a gun, period. That's it. We don't believe in that. And if you get enough majority, you can push that law through and that would be fine. But fortunately, we are a constitutional republic and there are rights guaranteed to every citizen. One of them is the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So you should not be able to take somebody's rights away to own a gun. All right. Well, at least that judge threw out a federal judge tossed out the lawsuit that was trying to sue the manufacturers of the weapons from the shooting in 2022 in Virginia. So he realized that that's not a case. It shouldn't have been presented. It should not have been given as much leeway as it had up until that point. Someone should have stopped that from being filed when it was originally done. Although, I think the biggest thing that's going to stop this is if we have reverted costs to the people who file these lawsuits. You file a lawsuit, you lose, you owe the defendants all their legal expenses back. So you're going to have to feel really sure that you can win or at least have a reasonable battle and you're in the right. Now, if they can come out and say, oh, no, this is illegal, you can't file this lawsuit, you owe us for the time we spent defending this because you filed an illegal lawsuit. Anybody who files an illegal lawsuit, a lawsuit that would cause a judge to break the law if he ruled in your favor, those need to be shut down and those people need to pay restitution immediately. They need to be fined at a heavy rate to stop the frivolous lawsuits from being filed. Now, and I'm not saying if you've been wronged by a company or something happened and there was some liability that was put somewhere else, you shouldn't be able to file and you shouldn't be able to sue. And even if you lose, you may not owe restitution because the jury didn't go your way or it just didn't turn out. But if you're filing an illegal lawsuit to start with and the law clearly states the lawsuit is not even allowed, you should be fined right then and there slapped on the wrist, told to go home, pay up, break out your checkbook, pay up the money of what happened. Whatever the defending company had to spend on it, you need to make them whole again when you file an illegal lawsuit. And the judges, people accepting these lawsuits or filing them, they need to be shut down almost immediately. You need to read the lawsuit and say, no, you can't sue for that. It's illegal. But unfortunately, we say in America, you can sue anybody for anything. It's that simple. Doesn't matter if it's right, if it's wrong, if it's true, if it's false. Doesn't matter. You can sue for anything. But
in who's the best liar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the term is, I think it's pronounced lawyer, but we all know the way it's supposed to be pronounced. But yeah, so that's something to look out for. Now, right now, I'm going to say, I'll tell you real quick, with the political season coming up, guns are going to be in the crosshairs on at least one side of the aisle. They're going to be gunning for your gun rights, pun intended. Yes, they're going to be trying to take them away. They're going to try and tax things. They're going to try and tax ammunition, gun rights. They're going to try and charge money to get gun permits to buy a gun, which I can't believe that has not been shut down in New York State yet. You actually have to have a permit and pay money just to be able to purchase a handgun. Not carry it, use it, practice with it. To purchase it, you have to pay a tax, which I think would be highly unconstitutional. Imagine if you started charging people a tax to vote, or if you started charging people, I don't know, a tax to work, you know? Oh, you do pay taxes when you work, but that's kind of a thing. But if you had to pay to exercise your rights, imagine if you had to pay a tax to vote. Imagine that. How upset would people get? Oh, you can't do that. That disenfranchises poor people. Well, you know what? Paying a tax to own a weapon does the same thing. Because most people who are less fortunate, they live in neighborhoods where they have a bigger need for the protection than people who live in better neighborhoods. I'm sorry, but that's just a fact. The better neighborhoods are usually better protected. They pay more taxes. And the city officials give them more leeway when it comes to getting police protection, patrolling, things like that. In the lesser neighborhoods, they don't give as much money to them because they don't pay as much in. And it's discriminatory, sure. They need more police than the other people do, but yet they're going to discriminate. But you need to be prepared to take care of yourself. And right now, at this moment, guns are cheaper than they've been in many, many years. You can buy, you know, military-styled rifles very inexpensively right now, good quality ones also. You can buy all kinds of handguns, pistols, revolvers, all that stuff can be had very inexpensively right now at some of the best prices that have been around probably in the last 5 years. Now, 2019 was probably the last time we saw a drop in price as we've seen today. Now, ammunition is still a little higher than it was, but it has come way down from its peak in 2020. In 2020, they shut down all the factories for the COVID. They couldn't produce the ammunition. The ammunition got ridiculously expensive. And we were trying to import a lot of it from other countries, but a lot of other countries were shut down during COVID too. So it became a worldwide shortage. So that was an issue. Now we are recovering from that. A lot of that is better now. However, I believe it was Obama who passed a law about mining lead. And because we're not allowed to mine lead anymore in this country, it all has to be bought from somewhere else or recycled from another source, which of course costs more money. That's also, you know, you have to buy it from somewhere else. It has to be shipped in. And then when you recycle it, it has to be, taken into recycling centers, has to be processed. Like, you have to pull the plastic cases off of batteries. You have to strip the lead out of things that have it. And that's going to make it more expensive. So, of course, the ammo prices have gone up because of that. Now, imported ammo is still probably some of the best deals out there. If you can buy imported ammo in your caliber, that's something to consider. Because most manufacturers make wonderful products. There's very few that I would consider bad in any way. There may be some that are considered premium, and a lot of those are the American manufacturers, but they are a little more restricted now with the fact that they can't get new lead from anywhere. It has to all come from recycled sources or from overseas. They're not allowed to mine it anymore here, and that's something that Obama shut down, which, of course, helped raise the price of ammunition. That's why I say the cheapest time in the last probably 30 years to buy anything, weapon-wise, ammunition-wise, was in 2019, right before COVID kind of took hold of the country. And as soon as it did take hold, people had a lot more time on their hands. The protesting started. They were burning things in the street, flipping over police cars, attacking federal and local police officers. And then, of course, the prices started to skyrocket. Because why? Because people knew that they needed to protect themselves. They saw all these stories in the news about innocent people not being able to depend on law enforcement to protect them. Law enforcement was staying out of a lot of it. They were ordered by the politicians to not get into it with these protesters. And that's their fault. The politicians, if you live in a city where your politician ordered police to stand down, you need to vote them out of office. They didn't have your best interests in heart. I would guarantee you they live in a gated community where they have protection 24/7 by armed people. Now, most of the politicians are not going to put themselves in danger. They're not going to put themselves at your level. So you need to defend yourself. You need to get that kind of protection from you being able to be armed, qualified, skilled, trained to be able to do that for you, yourself, your family, your property. You need to defend that. You need to be the one to do that first. Because if you
see your neighbors.
Yeah, that would be another thing. Yeah. See if there's any neighbors who'd refuse to own a gun, say, you know what? You're going to do something for me. I'm going to do something for you. You're going to keep a lookout on my house when I'm not home, and you call me if you have any issues, and I'll look out after your house too. Of course, they won't be as able to defend your house against somebody maybe breaking in, but they can call the police just as easy as anybody should. And that should always be a first step when it's available. Assuming somebody doesn't confront you in your own home while you're there, you see somebody doing something, call the police first. It is still their job. It's their job to come and confront people like this and stop them. Now, if for some reason they can't get there, they don't show up in time, and these people are coming after you with bodily harm, you have to defend yourself. You have to be your own first responder. And be prepared. So if you're looking for a weapon, I think now is probably one of the best times in the past several years to get a good price on something. Get a good price. Know what you want when you go in, or start looking from scratch. You have to start very broad when you start looking. You have to start at the baseline. It's wide, it's big, there's a huge number of choices, and you have to start scaling it down. Now, I would recommend taking somebody who has more experience than you. However, I think you need to ask that person one key question. And if they answer right away, then they're probably not the person you need to be talking to. You need to, if you ask them, what kind of gun do I need? And they don't ask you questions about what you want to do with it, or if you're going to carry it, if you're not going to carry it, you're going to leave it at home. Is it going in your car? Do you want it to be portable? Can it be a rifle? Do you want a pistol? Ask you a bunch of questions about your decision to decide to arm yourself, that's not the person you need. If they come up with a brand and a model number right off the top of their head without asking you a single question, that's not whose advice you want to take. You want to have somebody's advice who is going to know to ask the right questions to find out what the purpose of this weapon is for.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
Where do you get this? Are you talking about the guy on he has hot dogs on one side and pistols on the other? Or are you talking about brick and mortar and going into a store that looks like they're in business to sell weapons?
Right, that's one way to do it. Of course, you're dealing with people who may be biased there also. Doesn't matter where you run into this person, whether they're a neighbor, whether they're a friend, a guy from work, a guy at the gun store, a guy at the gun range. Ask them about what kind of gun you should buy. If they have an answer right away without asking you a single question or knowing anything about you, that's not the advice you want to take. They need to know. I need to know a lot about somebody when they ask me about a gun. And they can tell me what they prefer, and I can give my opinion. Or they can ask me, what do I recommend? And I'll say, well, I have to ask you a dozen questions before I can even make a recommendation. What are you going to do with this gun? What is it for? Are you defending against squirrels in your yard? Are you looking against human intruders? Are you dealing with wild pigs on your farm? I mean, you're going to tell me what it's for, what you're going to do with it.
And no matter what you decide on, try it out.
If you can, yeah. Now, in some places, you don't have that option. Like in New York,
Any street will do.
Yeah, well, you can't even handle a gun at a gun store unless you have a permit to buy one. So you can't even go to a gun store and ask to hold it without having that permit. So they restrict your ability tremendously in being able to help make a decision. You pretty much have to get the permit first before you even go look at weapons. That's handguns. Now, rifles and shotguns you can buy, but most guns used for self-defense are pistols, unless you live on a farm or out on a ranch where you may have to deal with wild animals or people at distance, and a rifle is a better choice for you. Most guns sold are handguns, and in some states they restrict it so much you can't even handle one until you have the right to buy one. And you have to purchase that license by filling out a form and submitting, I think it's a couple hundred dollars, just to be able to exercise your constitutionally protected right. Now, I want to see them do this with voting. Yeah, you make sure people pay a $200 fee to register to vote. See how that goes over. See how many people find that acceptable. And yet they'll fight like crazy against that. And if you look in the Constitution, you have no right to vote. There is no right to vote spelled out in the Constitution. The only thing there is that if there's an election, you cannot be discriminated against by age, by gender, by sexual preference, by any of those factors. None of those should affect your ability to vote. So imagine this. You go in and you want to buy a gun, but you know what? We're gun restricted. You can't buy this, that, or the other. You want to go vote? Well, you can vote, but you need to take a class first. You need to have training before you're allowed to vote. Yeah. Just like with a gun, you have to have training before you're allowed to purchase. You need permission from the state before you're allowed to vote. Yeah, and you put it in terms like that, you realize the ridiculousness of the situation. You realize that the fact that there's a constitutionally protected right versus something that is not a constitutionally protected right, but everybody thinks it is, means they've never read the Constitution. They don't know that there is no right to vote. It is not spelled out anywhere. It's not an amendment. It's not anything in the Constitution you can do that says you have the right to vote. But there is one that says you have the right to own, keep, and bear arms. So if we're going to do this by the constitutional book, then we need to do it by the constitutional book. Just like with driving. They'll tell you all the time, driving is not a right. It is a privilege. And you have to get a license to exercise that privilege. And in some states, you have to buy that right. Even though it's given to you and protected, they don't agree that you should have it, so they make you pay to get it back. They make you pay a fee to have to undergo approval from the state to be able to purchase a weapon. And that's when things get crazy. I understand. A lot of places have permits to carry a weapon in public places, and I understand that. And it may be something that will be eliminated in the future. As more and more states offer constitutional carry, it's going to get harder and harder to find gun permits available. Now, I personally would have one if it's available. If for no other reason, I want to be able to purchase a weapon without having to undergo additional background checks. Having a carry permit gives you that it's like a TSA pre-check. You have pre-check. You can go through the line. You don't have to take your shoes off, take your laptop out of your bag. You don't have to take your liquids out. Same thing with a gun permit. You've undergone the background checks. They've inspected you. They've taken your fingerprints. You go through the fast check line. You go through the pre-check line as far as gun purchasing goes. All right, just wanted to get that out there. Sorry I had a little more to get to today. We'll have to get to that next week. But just keep in mind, now's the time if you want to purchase something, because if the political season goes the wrong way, it may be your last chance. I am Roger B. This has been Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.